It's a privilege to serve the Alliance in the moderator's role. And I'm indebted to those who have served before me for their faithfulness and for their godly example that I can follow. And I hope this morning that you understand that the moderator is not the boss of BMA. This is a team effort, and the Board of Executors serves the Alliance as a team. Organizations, like human beings, go through stages of life. BMA has progressed from infancy through childhood, and now in human terms as an adult. We're 21. And as we pass milestones in life, they often call us, especially as we get a little older, to reflect on the past, to evaluate the present, and to look for some perspective on the future. This is our 21st annual convention. It's been a joy and a delight to be a part of it. I think reflection on the past is important for those who weren't here at the beginning. Many of you have come, many of us. I was not there at the beginning. Many of us were not there when this organization was birthed, when this alliance was birthed. We need a sense of where we've come from in order to know where we're going. And that's part of our reason for this whole weekend, this theme. We need to know where we come from in order to work out where we're going. Some of you have been part of the Alliance from its conception and its birth. And initially, as I understand it, you had no desire to see another branch added to the Anabaptist tree. But you couldn't remain silent as you observed the increasing disconnect between historical Anabaptism and its present incarnation. You were willing to endure mockery and cynicism in your pursuit of a more biblically authentic faith and practice. The BMA was established, and I quote, "in obedience to the clear call of Christ to follow him and hear the shepherd's voice through the Holy Scriptures. The Alliance has as its core purpose the proclamation of the total sufficiency of the Holy Scriptures. That is, the Word of God as written is the complete revealed will of God for us today, necessarily supported by biblically mandated lifestyle and practice." End quote. And that was taken from BMA the first 10 years by Brother Paul Emerson. You founding brothers, as well as your faithful companions, bore for the Alliance the discomfort of gestation and the pains of birth. You watched carefully over the newborn and did your best to provide nurture and protection. You spent long hours without pay in your passion to see the fledgling Alliance thrive and grow. And as you look back this morning, those of you who were part of that founding group, as you look back, you must surely rejoice in what God has done through you and in you. This morning, we are in debt to you, to each of you, for your commitment and your sacrifices. As the Alliance progressed through the years, there were normal growing pains, just like we experience in human life. And incidentally, I would suggest to you this morning, though I wouldn't suggest it, I would state it factually that those growing pains are not over. In fact, we're still experiencing them. Policies that were at one time adequate for governance and operation need to be revisited. Decisions that were made in the urgency of the moment held ramifications that were not seen. Given the opportunity to revisit the situation, your decisions today may be different. But you know, because we're all imperfect human beings, that's the normal part of growing and learning. And so we extend grace to each other. We will not always get it right. We haven't in the past, and we won't now. And we won't in the future. so we extend grace to each other. Part of that initial vision of BMA included mission outreach. And the first mission board was established in February of 1999, and 1 year later was named Destinations International. Now, the name itself declares the intended focus of missions on unreached and underreached peoples of the world. The tireless work of Brother Allen and his wife Carolyn, along with those who served on the DNI board, and I will always count it a highlight in my life to have been able to serve one term on that board. Those who have served on that board, their efforts have resulted in numerous mission teams across the world with plans in process for additional teams. And so today we stand in awe of what God has done and at his provision for the workers through your generous giving and your committed prayers. I remember so well when I served on DNI board, the first workers were sent to Southeast Asia. That was a culmination of 20 years of prayer. 20 years. God answered that prayer. It was a very emotional moment I will never forget. First term of BMA Bible Institute was held in January of 2000, hosted by the Silo Congregation in Due West, South Carolina. In 2002, the property in Elnora was purchased for the use of the Bible Institute. And in 2004, formally became EBI rather than BMABI. What a blessing. Brother Art Hertzberger served as the first principal. Today, EBI is a vital part, as you saw, of BMA, sharing in the crucial role of preparing our young people for life in the workplace, in the local church, on the mission field, wherever God takes them. And again, we gratefully acknowledge the sacrificial service of all of you who were part of that from the beginning. All of you who have invested in EBI. And then in 2003, Brother Bob Miller was called as the first director of the fledgling MTC, Mission Training Center, in New York City. And along with his wife, Nidea, they impacted the lives of many young people with their passion to see Christ proclaimed to the nations. Again, we salute those who have served on the staff and on the board, enabling the growth and the development of that work. And there are more things I could mention this morning, but time does not permit me. We know from our own personal experience that individuals or organizations that neglect intentional life disciplines soon begin to drift. It's just the nature of who we are. And to help prevent that drift, the BMA adopted a 10-point position and policy statement that addresses a number of biblical lifestyle issues. And every congregation that becomes a part of BMA commits themselves to accepting and teaching and promoting those policies. One of the things that has been emphasized from the beginning of the Alliance as critical to preventing drift is the faithful exposition of the Word of God coupled with its required life application. And I would say to you this morning, especially to our pastors, but to all of you in the congregation, exposition is an area where we're growing, but we're not where we need to be. Too many of us still have an improper understanding of what constitutes genuine biblical exposition. And that has led to a rejection of the concept by some of our leaders and some of you in the congregations as well. Biblical exposition in a nutshell is found in Nehemiah chapter 8 and verse 8. And this is what it says. So they read distinctly from the book in the law of God, and they gave assent and helped them to understand the reading. I still recall Brother Steve Byler's excellent message at this location, not in this room, but right over there, in that auditorium, MEW 2015, he preached from this text. How many of you remember his point? How many of you were there? How many of you remember his point? Okay, a few of you. Bring the book, open the book, read the book. It sticks. Thank you, Brother Steve, for that. I would encourage you, no, I would urge you to go to the BMA website. That message is there, and you can listen to it. I would urge you to do that. All of you as ministry and as people in the congregation, because it will bless you and help you understand the importance of exposition. And I would add this morning that one of the responsibilities of you who are members of particular congregations is to encourage, you know, sometimes people come and they say, we're not being fed. There might be a couple of different reasons for that. One way you can help your pastor is to send him to the ministerial training at EBI, where biblical preaching and leadership are dealt with. And there are other things that you could do as well. But I must move on. If we as leaders this morning are not faithfully proclaiming God's word, we are only moralizing. We are not preaching the gospel. If our preaching and teaching are not thoroughly grounded in the scripture, our people will not be prepared to withstand the assaults of the world and the flesh and the devil. And I believe this morning, brothers and sisters, that the failure to faithfully proclaim the word of God has resulted in our churches having people in our pews who are not born again. They look right on the outside, but there has been no transformation on the inside. These are hard things to say, but I believe they're true. Some of our members may be able to uphold a cultural standard for a period of time, but they have no understanding of the underlying biblical principles. And so, as was suggested earlier this weekend, when some clever preacher, teacher comes along and undermines that, they have no scriptural foundation. They have no defense for their application. And I am often saddened, brothers and sisters, by the biblical illiteracy among us. We have access to the Word of God in forms like no previous generation has had, and yet we read it less and study it less. May God have mercy. I also believe that the lack of biblical knowledge causes us to have a misunderstanding of our own depravity. We somehow mistakenly think that because we haven't lived in flagrant sin, we're good people. I think of the words of the Apostle Paul. He said, I know that in me, that is in my flesh, nothing good dwells. Did you hear that? In ourselves, we have nothing good to offer God. We fail to understand that within us, in the core of our being, lies the potential to be another Hitler, another Mao Zedong, another Pol Pot, or another Bashar al-Assad. That's in us. We aren't sinners because we sin. We sin because we are sinners. It's who we are by nature. We are worthy of death. But God offers us life and forgiveness through Jesus Christ. Praise God. We correctly embrace the salvation received by grace through faith, but we incorrectly assume that that salvation is maintained by our good works. That is not biblical. The scriptures make it clear that we are kept by the power of God through faith for salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. And so the faith that saves you is the faith that keeps you. Lifestyle choices give evidence of the genuineness of our faith, but they don't provide special merit in God's sight. Now, those previous statements in no way disparage or discourage practical application of scriptural commands and principles. In fact, the alliance was formed over the disconnect between those two, the disconnect between scripture and application. The founders of BMA believed that biblical orthodoxy must result in biblical orthopraxy. What we mean by that is right doctrine must produce right living. They're connected. They cannot be separated. It's a principle that we must constantly guard and reaffirm, because without it, we claim a faith that the Apostle James says has no life. Jesus said, "If you love me, keep my commandments." And since all Scripture is God-breathed and profitable for our development, we accept the entire scope of God's revelation. Our desire, our goal is to center our life and practice more specifically in the teaching of the New Testament. And in the absence of a clear, "Thus says the Lord" command, we believe that God entrusts the local congregation, led by godly, mature leaders, to flesh out those applications that guide our daily living. The Alliance has established the minimum applications that we believe accurately reflect those commands and principles. Every congregation and individual member periodically reaffirm their commitment to those principles. The assessment of unity, and incidentally, that's coming up next year, 2020. The assessment of unity has become a valuable tool to the Council of Overseers in helping to guide the Alliance and shows us those areas where we're strong and areas where we need some work. And since we believe that living faith results in a changed life, we're committed to holding each other accountable to the teaching of God's Word and application of the same to our lives. In BMA, the first 10 years, which I referenced earlier, I found this quote on page 38. And I don't know who this was. It wasn't attributed, but it was in one of the quotes from the founding group. It says, quote, "If we are not willing to dismiss members who have apostatized from our commitment, there is no reason to start a new organization." End of quote. That commitment to accountability is being tested in the Alliance today. Which leads me to an additional concern. Those who sow discord in local congregations and within the Alliance. I believe, brothers and sisters, the Scriptures state without equivocation that sowing discord among the brotherhood is an abomination to God. Those who sow discord are guilty of violating the body and bride of Christ. Paul wrote in Romans chapter 16 and verse 17, "Now I urge you, brethren, note those who cause divisions and offenses contrary to the doctrine which you have learned, and avoid them." It's an admonition that we as an Alliance must take to heart. While we do have work to do in the Alliance, I have been and am greatly blessed to be a part of this group. My life has been deeply enriched by my interaction with many of you at a personal level, through your teaching, through your example, through your friendship, and through our times of fellowship. These weekends are special to me. I wouldn't miss them. As you know, the founders of the Alliance are passing the staff of leadership on to the next generation. And I commend them for the way that this is being done. It's not easy to see what you have birthed pass into the hands of someone else, because you don't know how they're going to handle it. They may not have the same level of passion about this that you do. But their example will make future transitions easier. As I look to the future of the Alliance, I have hope. One of those reasons lies in the caliber of our young people. We have many who are fully committed to following the Lord and His Word. Their lives are a challenge to their peers and to us as older people as they ask the hard questions and seek biblical answers to those questions. I pray that your number will increase, young people. But there are some among us who engage in perpetual wrestling with the difficult questions of life and never seem to arrive at a settled place of belief and conviction. The first group that I mentioned is not like that. They know assuredly that the Scriptures have the answers to life, and they unashamedly call us to apply those Scriptures to daily living. You will find some of their writing. Okay, let me just make it here. I'm almost done. You will find some of their writings at the blog Radical and in the magazine Crosswind. And you will see their displays out here in the hallways. If you're not familiar with those, go take a look and take advantage of that material. Another reason for my hope lies in the ministerial body of the BMA, because I see among us a growing sense that the Word of God must be held high as a beacon of light on our pathway. And brothers and sisters, we are sometimes accused of worshiping the Word, and I must admit that I do. I worship the Word, the Lord Jesus Christ, and I believe that He is inseparable from the written Word. Jesus said, "The words that I speak to you, they are spirit and they are life." And then there are the younger men who are being called as leaders in our congregation. I see among them a hunger and a thirst for righteousness and a pursuit of the knowledge of God. Some of them are developing into effective preachers and teachers and pastors. Our congregation and our educational institutions will reap the benefits of their enthusiasm and their hard work. And to you men, I say, follow the example of the Good Shepherd. But my greatest hope this morning is found in Jesus Christ, the Lord of the church. He is the one who said in response to Peter's confession, "On this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it." May God give us grace and confidence in Him as we continue the journey. God bless you.